Welcome to Here We Grow, a grassroots podcast by Southwest Georgia Farm Credit focused on education and inspiring growth down on the farm, at home, and in rural communities. Whether you're a farmer or farmer, advocate, land lover, or southern dweller, we have industry experts and homegrown leaders ready to share their insights with you. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Here We Grow. I'm your host, Brian Roberts, a relationship manager with Southwest Georgia Farm Credit. Today, I welcome Brandon Van with New Era Land Company and DJ White with Nightfly Aerial Solutions to the podcast. Our episode today will focus on land and values in Southwest Georgia, recreational property, wildlife, and deer herd analysis and location services via thermal drone imaging. This is going to be an exciting podcast with interesting topics for hunters and landowners. And let's get started. Brandon, DJ, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for having me.
Glad to be here.
Our first guest is Brandon Van. Brandon is a South Georgia native, born and raised in Americus, Georgia. Married to his high school sweetheart, Lauren, they have two young sons, Bennett and Andrew. Brandon's love for the land and outdoors began at an early age, learning to bow hunt whitetail on a plantation cut tract of land in the New Era community of Sumter County, for which New Era Land Company is named. Brandon has nearly a decade of experience in finance, beginning his career as a commercial lender in 2014, then transitioning to agriculture lending in both Southwest Georgia Farm Credit and Ag Georgia Farm Credit. Throughout his lending career, he has had the privilege of building and developing lasting relationships with active land investors all over the Southeast. All right, Brandon, let's kick off this podcast. Will you tell our listeners about where you're from and your education experience?
Yeah, man. Thank you all for having me. As you said, I'm Brandon Van with New Era Land Company, born and raised in Americus, Georgia. Never left. Went to high school there at Southland Academy. Went to college at Georgia Southwestern State University. And took my first job at Citizens Bank in Americus. So now I'm raising a family there. Happy to be able to call Americus my hometown.
Brandon, what do you appreciate the most about living in South Georgia?
Lack of traffic, for one thing. I tell you, every time I go to Atlanta, I gain a newfound appreciation for Southwest Georgia. I like the slower pace of living and just the hometown feel. I mean, I was born and raised there. I feel like I know most everybody, and it's just a good feeling, you know?
Brandon, what's your personal connection to land in South Georgia, and how has that influenced your choice in career?
Well, growing up in South Georgia, if you didn't like to hunt or fish, you were going to be pretty bored. So I grew fond of land and hunting and fishing at a pretty early age, but I really began developing a passion for land-based businesses when I started working here at Southwest Georgia.
Has your background in finance and lending influenced your approach to land brokerage at all?
Yeah, it really has. Just knowing the finance side, I think has really helped me understand the whole cycle of a transaction, not just knowing the selling side, but knowing what it's going through from an underwriting standpoint to the closing table. So it's really helped, and I feel like it helps me guide clients in the right direction when we're working through a deal.
Can you tell us a little bit about how you founded New Era Land Company and what inspired you to go into that business?
Yeah, even in high school, I knew really early on that I wanted to work for myself. My granddad started a finance company, and I always just aspired to work for myself and gain the title of self-employed, but I never knew what I wanted to do. So I was offered a job right out of college as a lender, and then worked my way into Southwest Georgia as a lender, and then Ag Georgia Farm Credit as a lender, but I never knew what I wanted to do. Long story short, the lady that hired me at Ag Georgia, Tamara Schrable, she told me one day when we were looking at a tract of land, she said, you know, I think you'd be really good at selling land, and it's like a light bulb went off because I'd developed somewhat a clientele base of who's looking and who's buying land, and but I still didn't really know how I wanted to go about it. And I was telling Mark Gavin, a mutual friend of mine who owns Mark's Greenhouse, about it. And he said, man, you really need to get in touch with Billy Black. I think he's looking to kind of do the same thing. And Billy had his broker's license. So I made a phone call to him. We went and grabbed lunch. And we came up with this master plan of New Era. The name came from, like you said in the bio, it came from where I live now. I live in the New Era community of Sumter County, Georgia. But that's how it all started. Really grateful to Billy and Mark for kind of piecing it all together for me.
Yeah. What types of services do you offer for your clients at New Era Land Company?
We represent buyers and sellers in a variety of real estate transactions, but primarily we deal with hunting and timber and agricultural tracts.
What sets New Era Land Company apart from all the other land brokerages in our area?
I don't know that I would say this necessarily sets us apart from other firms, because I think there are a lot of firms out there, but I would like to say that our word is really what defines us. That's what I'd like to think defines us, and just doing what's right, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the outcome. I really like to think that, you know, whatever the case may be, we're gonna keep our word and we're gonna do what's right.
Brandon, tell us a little bit about your marketing plan and how you market listings to attract potential buyers.
Yeah, well, kind of going back to when I was a lender, I would still kind of keep up with what was for sale, and I just noticed. I mean, some folks were doing a fantastic job, but I noticed a lot of brokers out there that I didn't feel like were doing the land justice by marketing it. So for that reason, we spend a lot of effort online. We target specific markets for certain buyers, primarily of which is Florida. We've got a lot of folks out of Florida coming up wanting to buy. And don't get me wrong. I mean, we still spend a lot of money on signage and traditional marketing techniques, but putting a lot of effort into creating a more modern and professional look online has kind of been what we've tried to do, and we've been pretty successful at it, I think.
Which one of those strategies is the most effective in particular, you think, for grabbing attention and getting somebody to come check out a tract of land?
Well, I think from a paid form of marketing, the online's definitely the way to go, but I really think the most effective way to reach new buyers is to just do a really good job with the buyers you have and the sellers you have. I try my best to treat every client I get first as an answered prayer, because I promise you, I pray for my company and I pray for God's provision over my family. And every time someone reaches out to me, it is an answered prayer. There's no doubt about it. But I try to treat them like they're my only client. And I've heard it all my life, and I think it's so true. You know, no amount of money compares to what just word of mouth is going to do for a business. I mean, we can spend thousands and thousands of dollars trying to target specific markets, but if a client that I've represented well tells one of their friends, hey, this is the guy you need to use, then it's a done deal.
Absolutely. Brandon, what makes South Georgia such a unique and attractive area to purchase land in?
Good hunting, good people, and good food.
Amen.
Yeah.
What's some of the current land opportunities that you're seeing out in the market, and is there anything you find particularly exciting going on right now?
No, in the land market, man, I find every land opportunity that we have a part to be of to be exciting. There's no piece of land that's the same. There's no buyer the same. There's no seller the same. So it really does make for a pretty exciting job. Prime example, a guy that I just sold a farm to about 3 weeks ago, he called me up 2 nights ago, actually, and he had sent me a picture of a really big 10-point he had killed, but he called me up, and he was so appreciative, so happy. Man, Brandon, I can't thank you enough for what you did, for finding this place for me, for getting it, for just making it such a smooth process. I mean, we're loving it. We're loving it, man. And now we're on the way to the station, which is a little restaurant in America. So, I mean, that's what makes my job so fun is seriously just being able to piece together little pieces of the puzzle to make people's dreams come true. I mean, it's really fun.
Making a lot of new friends along the way.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Are there any trends right now in the land market, anything in particular that you think landowners or land buyers are looking for?
Yeah, we're seeing recreation as the primary driving force behind most purchases. Although appreciation, I mean, the increase in value over the time of holding the asset, timber value and income are definitely key to many transactions. I think most people are just looking for a place to put their money that's safe and that they can actually enjoy and go out and hunt and bring their family up to and get away from folks. I don't think it's really so much about a place that's designed to make money.
Brandon, the buyers that are coming into Southwest Georgia, what do you think they're coming here looking for? What's some of the things that buyers want when they come into our area?
Well, I think it's a lot of the same things that I said that I like so much about Southwest Georgia. Florida has taken on a lot of people in the last 2 years from California, New York. I mean, there's a mass migration to speak of going to Florida, and honestly, it's pushing a lot of the folks that are used to the slower pace of living, the lifestyle that we get to enjoy here. It's pushing those guys up. So I mean, they're really just searching what we have and what we take pride in. You know, I think COVID also had a lot to do with this. You know, I think a lot of people now have a newfound appreciation for land and getting out away from people. And, man, there's nothing better I can tell you from experience raising my two boys out in the field. My oldest son, Bennett, killed an 8-point this past Saturday. And I mean, there's nothing like that, man. I mean, the memories you make on a piece of dirt that God made, like that, that's what it's all about. And that's what's selling the land to these guys. It's nothing really I do. It's the land and the opportunities that present themselves.
The majority of the buyers you see coming into our area are from Florida, or are we getting people from the Midwest and the Northeast as well?
Yeah, well, I've seen it all, but I would say primarily, I mean, I'd say even 60-70% or so are probably coming out of Florida. But I mean, when I tell you, I'm not just telling you this to say it. I mean, these are really, really good folks. Like, I mean, if they hadn't told me, or they didn't have a Florida license plate, I mean, I'd think they were buddies that I grew up with. I mean, it's really good people. So I'm super happy to have them.
Brandon, what's the appeal of the recreational tracks here in South Georgia versus other places?
Well, I think there's a lot of ways to look at it. One, I know we as Georgians seems to think that land prices are through the roof, but to a lot of these guys in Florida, you know, they're able to sell some of their stuff for 3 and 4 times the amount they're buying up here for. So they're able to get a lot more land or dirt for their money. The hunting is much, much better here. I mean, here in this little area we're in, Southwest Georgia, I mean, we've got some serious history of growing really big deer. And Florida, not so much to speak of. But also, I think we're about to see another push of people coming up because of the hurricanes. I mean, it's not that far away. I mean, I can get to Panama City from my house in a little over 3 hours. So they're not moving really all that far, but they're getting out of at least the danger zone of hurricanes. They're able to kind of get away from the hustle and bustle and enjoy the outdoors.
You talked about the land value up here. What are you seeing as far as land prices in Southwest Georgia, and what do you think drives the value?
I mean, I really think most of it goes back to recreation. I mean, I know that it doesn't make a whole bunch of sense when you're talking about it from a financial perspective, talking about it from a timber value or lease income you're going to get from a farmer. But honestly, I mean, if it's got some serious rec appeal, if it's got water on it, if it's got good timber, if it's got good deer, if it's got good neighbors, I mean, all those things factor into the value of a piece of land, not just what you can sell the stuff on it for or what you can lease it for.
What can a property owner do to their particular tract of land to help increase value?
Well, I think the more turnkey you can make it, obviously the better, but I always tell, I mean, if you're only going to do one thing, make and establish good roads. You really need a good road system, because if you can't, when I get out there and I'm showing a property, if I got branches hitting me in the face and hitting the clients in the face and you're jumping stumps, it just doesn't make for a good showing. But if you go out there and you really take the time and effort to put in a good road system where we can ride and show the entire property, that's probably the biggest key. Yeah, I think that's probably it. And you, depending on how you lay out the road system, you can really make a farm feel a lot larger than it really is. And on the flip side, if you don't spend time on a road system, you can make it feel a lot smaller. You want your farm to feel as big as possible.
Yeah. Or you can use a drone pilot.
Absolutely.
Go out there and see what you got.
Our guy right here, DJ, is going to fill us in on all that.
We got one.
Can't wait to hear it.
Brandon, what's some of the challenges and successes you've had in this business since you started? Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, I'd say lack of inventory has continued to be one of probably our largest challenges. But most recently, I think my clients weren't affected too terribly much, but the devastation that came from Helene is detrimental. I mean, and these timber tracks, you can't insure that. So, I mean, when those tornadoes spun off of Helene and Milton, and when they just wiped out, you know, stands of timber, that's a direct loss to the landowner. So that's really been a challenge, I think, for anyone who shares the passions that I share and owns land in Southwest.
Yeah, it takes a lot of time and resource and money to get it back to what it was.
That's right. Yeah.
For sure. Is there any transaction that stands out in your mind since you've been in this business? Like, what's the most memorable one? Was it your first one? Was it your biggest one?
Man, I've made so many memories doing it, and there's so many that really do stand out. I would probably say the most memorable, and I don't want to make this whole topic about my faith, but I do want to share what Jesus has done in my life and how he's just continued to be faithful. About a year, it wasn't quite a year or so ago, my outlook, I guess, on selling land was, my prayer life was, Lord, you know, let this showing go well so that I can land a deal and provide for my family, yada, yada, yada. But I really felt like the Lord was leading me to a deeper prayer life, and I was then praying just for God to be glorified through the showing. I mean, if God's being glorified and I'm growing my relationship with Christ, then the provision's that's just going to happen. I mean, he's not going to abandon his children. So there's a big track I had. It was off market. It wasn't even listed, but the owner had told me that I could sell it if I found a buyer. I had a buyer that wanted to look at it. I did. I said the same prayer. I said, Lord, may you be glorified. You know, whether or not this showing goes well or not, I pray that you would receive all the glory. Long story short, we go out there, and I think we both end up talking about our faith more than we do the land. And I mean, I'm talking, this ended up being close to 1,600 acre farm. And it was about six different landowners that only two of which actually had the property listed. So you put together, that's a miracle in itself that we were able to reach out to six different people, four of which who didn't really want to sell, and get them all to sell and agree on a price. But the gentleman that bought the farm that day, we parked at the end, and he said, I want to buy them. I want to buy all of them. He said, but I want to pray about it, and I want to give this whole transaction over to the Lord. And I mean, it's just so crazy to think that I was praying for him to be glorified before we showed it. Then the largest transaction I've been a part of, the buyer just wanted to give it all over to God too. And it went off without a hitch. We closed it. It has become Camp Creek Plantation in Macon County, Georgia. It's just a phenomenal, phenomenal human being that bought it. We've become great friends, and to God be the glory. That's a pretty memorable transaction for me.
Absolutely. I'm going to shift gears a little bit. I know you have some side projects and are in some other business ventures in Americus. Tell us a little bit about restoring downtown Americus and how you've been a part of that.
That's sitting such a fun topic here. It has grown me in the area of patience, to say the least. Dealing with 130-year-old buildings can really be a headache at times. But I love my hometown. I love Americus. We just rode through Bainbridge downtown. I mean, to see what y'all have done here, it's phenomenal. We're trying our best to kind of do what y'all have done. But I want to see it prosper. I'm living there. I like to think my kids will grow up and love it so much they want to be there. So I want to keep it looking as nice as it can. So we started purchasing buildings downtown and have started improving buildings. And
what made you get interested in working on buildings downtown?
I'd actually, I think, say my brother. My little brother, Kyle, he's always been a nut for history, for commercial properties. So my step-grandfather, Jimmy Thaxton, he's been involved He owns 7 or 8 buildings downtown as well. But so we decided to form a partnership. We bought our first 2 3 or 4 years ago, and we've bought a few more since then. But yeah, the primary reason was just to be a part of downtown, to really try to grow downtown and improve it the best we can.
Tell us the name of that business.
Motley Crue Investments.
Yeah. Brandon, what do you see looking forward? What's the future of land brokerage and management?
Well, I like to think that New Era is going to be, or at least continue to be, a key player in the future of land brokerage. I honestly feel like this is something that's, land's been traded forever. I don't know that there's really any, you know, revolutionary change that's going to happen per se in the near future, but I like to think that we're going to be a part of it, at least here in southern Georgia. We're going to continue treating folks right. We're going to continue marketing properties to the best of our ability and developing connections and relationships and, yeah, keep on hustling.
All right, well, I'm going to add a little bit to that and tell y'all a little bit about my relationship with Brandon and our background. Brandon and I have been friends for, probably 12 or 15 years now. I met him in high school, and he and I took off running through the woods of South Georgia together back then, and we ended up marrying 2 girls that were best friends, both from Southland Academy. We were groomsmen in each other's weddings, showed up at the hospital when the firstborns were born, and everything in between. He means a lot to me, and he's been very influential in my career in coming to Southwest Georgia Farm Credit. He encouraged it and prayed for me, and it's worked out.
Thank you, B. And I'm proud of that guy, too. I really am.
All right, well, I'm going to go on into our next guest, DJ. DJ White. DJ is a native of Mitchell County and has always been passionate about the outdoors. With a lifelong connection to wildlife and a hunting industry, DJ's journey began as a deer processor. He has since guided big game hunts in Colorado and North Carolina, served as a quail guide in Southwest Georgia for 12 seasons. In the spring of 24, DJ took over Nightfly Aerial Solutions, offering deer herd analysis, recovery services to landowners and hunters in Southwest Georgia. Welcome, DJ.
Thanks for having me.
DJ, will you tell the listeners a little about where you're from and your background, please?
Yeah, I was born and raised in Camilla, Georgia, and just grew up in a hunting family and just loved being outdoors. Went off to guide school, did some big game guiding, quail guiding, and just can't really get away from the hunting industry. It's just a big passion of mine, and I'm fortunate that we live where we live and can do these things.
Tell us a little bit about guiding school.
Ooh. So I went to big game guiding school in 2001 in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And I don't think that business is actually open anymore, but it was a 6-week program. They teach you all the ins and outs of mostly Western big game. And it was a eye-opening experience for sure. A lot of fun. I used to say I would go back for a vacation if I could do it again. It was that much fun. But from there, I just transitioned into guiding for whitetail the first year. And then the next year, I actually got a chance to go back and do some guiding out west, which was quite an experience, to say the least, yeah.
Well, with all your time spent out west, what do you appreciate most about living here in South Georgia?
It's home. Peaceful, not crowded. Brandon said something about the traffic. That's a big deal. I'm the same way about Atlanta, all the big cities. I like to be able to get in the car and drive 30 miles in 30 minutes, and it's clean air.
Yeah.
It's nice.
So your connection to the land in South Georgia has really influenced your career choices. Is that right?
Yeah. Just being I guess as hunters, we have a responsibility to be stewards of the land and take care of everything the Lord's provided for us. And I take that head on.
All right, so DJ, it's evident that your passion for the land and connection has influenced you in your career. How'd you go about acquiring the nightfly business?
I was actually working a job for a company, and I was a nighttime supervisor, and my fiance at the time told me that I needed to quit if we were going to be together and we'd figure something out. So 2 weeks after my last day of that job, I noticed this business for sale on Facebook. So I just called the gentleman who had it for sale and struck up a conversation with me and met with him. And I just knew it was something I needed. I love helping people and love the outdoor industry. And I felt this was a way for me to stay involved and help people and still have a lot of fun at the same time.
Had you ever used a thermal drone service before?
Never seen it in my life. And the minute I laid eyes on it, I knew I had to find a way to have it. And that is the number one thing that comes out of people's mouth when they see it is, man, I need to see this. I didn't know this was even in existence. And the technology is incredible. It's overwhelming for a lot of people. What is that? What is this? What is that? And but when you can actually sit in front of my TV in the back of my car and watch it unfold, it's amazing.
How big a drone is it?
It's bigger than the little personal drones people fly around for hobbies.
But not as big as like a spray
drone. Not as big as a spray drone. No, not at all.
Well, how easy is the thing to fly?
It's not super hard to fly. There's a lot of the controller has a lot of buttons on it. And it gets to be like anything else, muscle memory. The crazy thing is you could take these kids these days, I believe they could fly 10 times quicker than we could. Technology is just so available to everybody. And I don't think, well, we didn't grow up in the era where, you know, we used it much. And these kids now, my kid can grab a hold of it and do it. Now, I don't let him, but I feel like he could take it in 5 minutes and fly it pretty well.
Yeah, second nature to them. I didn't grow up playing a lot of video games either, so I'd probably wreck it. How many times have you?
I have not wrecked it yet. It has obstacle avoidance on it, so the only thing that it will hit is a power line. I don't test that theory often, but there's times you question, you know, what it's doing, why it's doing what it's doing. So it's not a toy. It's an expensive piece of equipment. It's a tool that is kind of transcending in the industry, and we want to keep it that way, but we've got to take care of them and not be reckless for sure.
I got a quick story really quick about crashing a drone. So obviously I use a smaller drone for taking pictures, aerial shots of land, but I've only crashed it wasn't really a crash. I've only gotten it stuck in a tree once, and it was this time. Got it stuck, and it was so high up that I tried a fishing pole. I mean, I tried throwing a baseball. I literally tried everything, and I couldn't even reach it. So I went home, and I was like, man, I can't afford to just let that drone sit up there and waste away. So it dawned on me to grab my shotgun, put a full choke in, and then grab some high brass. So I went out there, and I literally, it took about 24 shots, but I shot the limb in the same spot enough times that it actually broke and the drone fell down. So if you ever get one stuck in a tree.
And you know they make small drones that have obstacle avoidance.
Well, mine's got it, but if you put it in sport mode.
You can't fly it in sport mode.
Yeah, I fly it in sport a lot of times.
Slow down, you'll capture more stuff, man.
DJ, what all kind of services do you offer with that drone? We've heard about the deer recovery some. What else can you do with it? Have you ever been called out to look for anything else? Any fugitives? Any cows?
I have not been on the search and rescue call yet. We have looked for some livestock. Pet recovery is a huge thing that I never knew really existed. So most of the summer months, that's, you know, what we were relying on was pet recovery calls. There's so many things you can do with these drones. I think the market is just open-ended to where there's stuff you can do in the solar industry, roof inspections, and I'm going to, you know, try to expand into that after deer season, try to get my feet wet in some of that. There's a few more certifications you have to do those. So those are in the future plans for sure.
What are you primarily using it for right now?
Deer recovery.
Deer recovery.
Deer recovery. Herd analysis stuff is kind of preseason, postseason stuff. This time of year, it's just deer recovery.
How far away will you travel out of Camilla to go look for a deer?
We don't have a specific radius that I would not cross or, you know, have to stay within. I may get a call on one side of Early County and have to go to the other side of Tift County in one night. So that radius is, I guess it floats, so to speak. Obviously, we can't just pack up and go across state. I've been up almost to Macon and, you know, as far south as down there, other side of Decatur County. So it's an open market, and it's not best bidder win sometimes, as people might want to think. I think the business I bought had a good reputation, and I'm very, very fortunate for that. And so we do receive a lot of calls from distant places, actually.
Well, that leads me into the next thing. So word of mouth and the reputation that the business had to start with has obviously led you into getting more business and more calls. But how do you market yourself? How can folks get in touch with you?
We have a Facebook page, of course, Nightfly Aerial Solutions, fairly easy to find on Facebook. We have, you know, the typical yard signs out. I have flyers up in different places, a bunch of the deer processors and whatnot, hunting stores. There's a few different places on Facebook that offer, like, dog tracking and drone deer recovery stuff. I'm not even sure all those that I'm listed on, to be honest with you. There's a bunch of them. I guess the Facebook page is probably my best advertising platform that I have.
Have you ever thought about marketing out to the plantations in the area?
I have. That's something that I think is probably in the future. It'll take some convincing, I'm sure. And but I'm not against getting in front of some of those guys and showing them what we have to offer.
What are some of the challenges that you think that hunters and landowners are facing here in Southwest Georgia?
As a landowner or hunter, the challenges we have, of course, it's a hot topic, is I guess our constitutional rights at the moment. There's been so much push the last ever how many years about gun owners this, gun owners that. We just have to toe a really straight line, try to keep our nose clean. Don't give anybody any fuel to their fire. And we actually owe that, you know, to the animals and to ourselves to be good stewards and to keep all the negative press, most of the negative press as we can down.
DJ, you talked about stewardship to the land and to the animals on the land. With your drone service and thermal imaging, you can take an inventory of the animals that we have. How does that translate into stewardship, and what can we do?
So a herd analysis is a way to offer vital information to the landowner or the lessees as to herd populations, buck to doe ratio, if you have any unwanted animals such as the wild hogs, predators. There's so much you can see from above that is just not available to see or not often seen from the ground. So that gives you an opportunity to know if you need to cull some deer, shoot some does, if you have a hog problem. And it also gives the landowner maybe a chance to say, hey, man, I've got some really, really good deer, and here's proof. So land value could potentially go up. A lot of people aren't certain on what they have, and I was victim to this before I actually purchased this drone. The little property that I'm able to hunt on actually has a lot more deer than I ever thought. And I think a lot of people who have seen this technology with us are really blown away at what they're missing. Trail cameras are only so good. If you've got ag fields, you know, you can get a pretty good idea, right times of year, of what you got. Not every deer is going to walk out that peanut field. They're certainly not going to go to every corn pile you have. So the herd analysis thing just gives you a little better understanding of what the land actually offers for the sportsman.
So when that deer analysis is going on, how do you share that data with the landowner?
So as the herd analysis is going on, we actually have a simple HDMI cable run from the remote to a television screen in the back of the vehicle. And everybody sits around and we count deer as they come across our screen. And that's the way we do it.
Interesting. Yeah. So the landowner's out with you while you're doing it. I'm sure they're very interested and excited about seeing what's out there.
Absolutely. So there's two ways of doing this. The preseason herd analysis gives you a way to see buck-to-doe ratio, but also gives you an idea of your fawn drop for the year. So you get to see how many fawns you have potentially. If you were to do it in January, February, then you get to see what was taken off or what moved off. You know, deer move a lot. So you can see how many deer have changed their feeding patterns potentially and moved off your property. If you know you only killed two does and there's 40 that you're not counting, you know, you can just see there's a trend there. These deer move a lot.
You ever see any landowners get real fired up when you find a monster on that drone?
Absolutely. And we do too, actually. It's always nice to see something you weren't expecting. I think Southwest Georgia as a whole, and I think we've touched on this already, we have the potential to have some really good deer around here. And a lot of them just aren't ever brought to light, whether it be not come in front of a camera or a hunter never see it. And you can see everything from the air. I mean, they can't hide from thermal imaging. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. What about predators? Do you find a lot of wild hogs and coyotes and that sort of stuff? And what kind of effect does that have on the deer population?
We do find a lot of wild hogs. I think there's just certain pockets in this region that hold a lot of wild hogs. And, of course, they're getting to be in more and more places. I think food source is probably the biggest factor in wild hogs being an issue. I do think they keep the deer pushed off or out for a little bit, but as they move, I think the deer generally come back. As far as coyotes, foxes, bobcats, we have seen our share of them. Not quite as many as I thought we would have seen. I've always been told that the predators go in yearly cycles, you know, 3 or 4 years at a time. They're really strong. I can't prove that fact yet, but we're working on it.
Okay. How much does it cost if I wanted to get you out to my farm to take a look at my deer? What would it cost to get you up there?
So we usually do $250 to get there, and that gives you 2 hours fly time, up to 2 hours of flying time, and $100 to recover.
How many acres can you cover in 2 hours?
Certainly depends on the topography of the land. The layout, plantation cut pines are really, really easy. If you got a lot of hardwoods or bottoms or draws, of course, that would take a little longer. Until we get a really heavy frost and get some of the foliage beat back on some of these hardwoods, it's tricky right now in places.
Time consuming
for sure.
You think that your services could potentially help landowners fetch a higher price for their land?
Absolutely. I think, as we were saying a while ago, there's a lot of deer out there that never get seen, and people are crazy about big deer. It doesn't matter where you go in this country. You show them a picture of a big deer, they want to know where it is, how much it costs to kill it. And it's just a fact.
You think like a habitat appraisal along with a land appraisal would go together to increase the property valuation?
Absolutely. I think that's something that should be thought about and looked into.
What are your thoughts on that, Brandon?
Man, yeah. I mean, I'm just chuckling over here. I mean, that. Hey, I was going to say preach, but I mean, I mean, come on. Everybody wants a big deer. And I mean, that's the thing. We've got the genetics in South Georgia to grow some freaking giants.
We do, and I have the capabilities of recording my flight. So, you know, we could tie that into something.
So the next track I list, absolutely. I want to get you out there. Yeah, yeah. We're working something here. Okay. This is going to be.
We'll do this off mic.
What kind of feedback are you getting from the customers that have called you so far?
They're blown away just like I was. I mean, the minute that the TV screen cuts on and the thermal images pop up, they're like, what is that? So we cut the light on and find us a squirrel. And they're like, you're finding squirrels at night? I'm like, yeah. And if you'll give me a minute, I'll find every possum and raccoon you have. But we're looking for deer. They're really blown away. Thermal imaging is crazy, crazy, crazy good. And you might find that image and the drone's equipped with a spotlight. It may take a minute for you to get just right, hovering over him in a right angle to get the light on him. But the minute that light cuts on and they see their deer dead, it's a party. It's a party for a few minutes.
Yeah.
Then so, the work begins.
Like, what's the most memorable time when that's happened for you? Somebody you went to go look for a deer. Somebody had shot. And
so a few weeks ago, still during bow season, I won't call the gentleman's name. It's on my Facebook page. Y'all are more than welcome to check it out. Got a call about a big deer in Worth County, and we all know Worth County is known for their giants. And got there and found the deer pretty quick, actually, and ended up scoring 176 and 3/8, I think, was the final score on a green score. So anytime you can put your hands on something like that, no matter the situation, it's pretty impressive. To find it with a drone and to have it as my cover page, my cover photo on my Facebook page, makes it a little more interesting for me.
Yeah. DJ, what's your success rate when you go out looking for a downed animal? You at 100%?
We're not at 100. The foliage, I think, has probably tricked us a few times this year. We're right at 90, and I still think that's pretty good. You got to think, we're not going to get a call on a deer that's, you know, shot perfectly. So we're already behind the eight ball to start with. We found some deer a long ways away from where they were said to be shot. Found one over a mile away from where it was said to be shot and still had a good bit of life left in it and a pretty good wound. And I have some video of that as well. We set out to find everyone, and the customer also understands that, hey, if you find that deer and he's not mortally wounded, then that's part of hunting.
Mm-hmm.
But as long as we can do all we can to get to that point for the customer, we feel like we've won.
What's your future plans with the business?
Well, we mentioned earlier about the different opportunities, maybe in solar and roof inspections and whatnot. I really think there's so much more out there. In the thermal side of it, but I think there's so much more out there in the drone business, in the drone world, that is untouched or maybe partially touched or seems far fetched and oh, that won't work. But I think we're getting there. So after hunting season, I'm gonna sit down and do some real thinking and check my options out and try to expand this thing a little bit.
Well, what's one thing you wish everybody knew about your business?
I think if people could see it with their own eyes and understand that it's not invasive, it's not hurting anything, we're not spying on people, we're really doing a service. And like I said earlier, we owe that to the animals to try to find our deer. And I think if they could see it and see whether we recover it or find it wounded or whatever, I think they'll know, they'll see it's a really, really good tool.
I agree. Well, Brandon, now that you've learned all this about night fly services, what do you think about the herd analysis and how's that going to play into land management practices?
Man, I think it's awesome. It's been a pleasure to sit over here and just listen to you. And I'm looking at a deer on your phone now. I mean, that thing is a stud. Is that the Worth County deer?
That's the Worth County deer.
Good gracious. But yeah, I mean, I look forward to partnering up with you on some of our listings and just kind of seeing how we can, you know, help each other out. But I mean, there is no doubt in my mind that what you're doing is a super, super valuable tool that I don't think many people know about. I had to call somebody on Bennett's, although he made a great shot, the deer ran, my 7-year-old. We called someone with a dog to come track it, but I mean, you know, it's just,
we've actually been behind quite a few dogs this year, and I don't know if the tracking dog industry's just gotten so big that some of them aren't as good as, there's a few I can name right now that I would call in a heartbeat with a dog. And the drone business has taken off too. There's been 15 or 16 pop up in South Georgia this year. I think quite a few of them will probably weed themselves out. But you've got to offer the service. You've got to offer the full service. You've got to go above and beyond. I drug a deer out Sunday night. Took 3 hours to drag it 100 yards. Mm. But I wouldn't leave until it got to the truck.
Right.
I don't know that everybody's getting that experience from these other people. But that's what we do. That's what we do as a business. Stuff,
well, guys, is there anything else y'all want to add to discussion?
I don't think so. I appreciate y'all having us on. It's really been a pleasure.
I appreciate y'all coming, Brandon, DJ.
Yeah, thanks, man. Yeah. I'm glad to be able to put some of this out here, and maybe we can open some eyes and reach some people, and people can see what we have to offer. It's an amazing tool.
Well, it's been a good conversation. Well, that concludes our podcast today with Brandon Van and DJ White. We hope you enjoyed this episode. For more information, visit our website at swgafarmcredit.com. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast on your favorite app and get notifications of the new episodes. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram for great industry resources. Thanks for listening.